If I told you my story, you would be home. Never let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love. Never gave up. If I
everyone. The sun is shining and it's a long weekend. Yeah, you know, like a few weeks ago we did Easter, remember that? And then we learned the new amen just for a season for us here at Sturgeon Alliance. You remember what it was? It was that guy that that got new lungs and he was like, no way. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. The sun is shining, it's a long weekend. No way. Yeah. Welcome here. With this new weather also comes those pesky little things that fly in the sky. I got a picture of one of those from Alberta, and I want to show it to you here. There's a mosquito from Alberta. Anyone's ever seen something like that flying around in the past few days? Actually, I didn't even know what skull that is, but it looks like a mosquito, doesn't it? Man, man, oh man, can you imagine getting your blood sucked by that thing? Yikes. You know, I hope today isn't life draining for you. I hope spiritually it is infusing for you, because today is a special day. We have our One Word Sunday. It's actually our second one this year. We have six people who are going to tell you some stories about how their one word, their one passage of scripture for 2019 is coming alive in their life. And I'm so excited. Six stories from six vastly different places in life, and six entirely different themes, and I know God is going to challenge you, and He's going to encourage you this morning. Why are we here? That's right. It's not about me. It's not about the band. It's not about you. It's about exalting the name of Jesus, and that's why we're here. We're going to sing about Him. We're going to talk about Him. We're going to hear stories about what Jesus is doing in individuals' lives, and and we're gonna worship here in a moment, and we're gonna sing about three songs before Josh comes up for the announcements. And the third song that we're gonna sing in this little worship set here is actually going to be a song that's gonna be our theme song for this fall. Who can remember what we're preaching on all fall? Revelation. We're preaching on the book of Revelation all fall. And this third song is a brand new song. You haven't heard it, but I want you to try and learn it, because it's going to be the theme song that that we sing this fall. It's right into the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 says this. It says, "And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. And I wept and wept, because no one was found who is worthy to open the scroll and look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has triumphed.'" That's Jesus. "And He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals." So the song is called, "Is He Worthy?" And there's an echo in it. Is He Worthy? And then, yes, He is. Is He Worthy? And yes, He is. It is straight out of Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to introduce it to you today. And hopefully we'll learn it before we get to this fall, because it's going to be our theme song as we dive into that amazing book of Revelation. But today, we're going to hear Jesus' story in individual lives. And these six stories are going to be really powerful. So today we're here to, it's all about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to celebrate Jesus. But sometimes when we come in here, like I've said before, is our heart is noisy. And that's not the posture of our heart that we're going to make Jesus famous. So what we need to do is we need just to quiet down, get really still in our own soul, and let Jesus start the conversation. So let's do that. Let's pause for a moment, get quiet with the Lord, and let Jesus start the conversation. I'll lead us in prayer after we have a moment of silence. Let's do that. Jesus, we love You. Jesus, we celebrate You. Jesus, today, this morning, is all about You. We want our lives to be all about You. As we gather and we sing about You, and as we hear stories of what You're doing in our individual lives, I pray that You would be exalted and glorified above all else. Descend into this place, into our lives, and have Your way in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Guys, with us this morning, please. Through every battle, every heartbreak, every circumstance, I believe that You are my fortress. You are my portion. You are my hiding place. I believe You are the way, the truth, the life. Every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that You are provider, You are protector, You are the one I love.
set on you, and you meet me here today. Mercies that are new, all my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I set on you, and you meet me here today. Mercies that are new, oh, all my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. Oh, all my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. I believe you are. Finding myself lost for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, the word of God speak. Did you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Word of God speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you. And in the quiet, your voice, word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Washing my eyes to see your majesty, be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know
'cause you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. Finding myself a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the darkness stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning?
Is
a new creation coming?
Is
the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good to see, remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, conquered the grave. He's David's root and the lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those He loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he's David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this?
worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. Is he worthy of this? Yes.
He is worthy. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Well, good morning and welcome here. My name is Josh, and I have the privilege of being the youth and young adults pastor here at Sturgeon Alliance. Couple quick announcements for you this morning. This weekend is the May long weekend, as Pastor Brent mentioned. Yeah, right? Last year, this weekend, was also the May long weekend of 2018, right? And, you know, that's significant for Kara and I. That was our first Sunday on staff here at Sturgeon Alliance Church. So it's been a whole year now that we've been here with you guys. And it's, well, thank you. It has been awesome. And it's been such an incredible year. And in 2 weeks, we are going to be having a celebration Sunday. And myself and some of our other ministry leaders, we're going to be sharing what Jesus has been doing in this past ministry year. So come out for that June 2nd here at the church. It's our 10 a.m. service. And afterwards, we are going to be having a potluck. The church is going to be providing hot dogs, hamburgers, so that the main course, that'll be here. You don't have to worry about that. For you guys, if you want to bring some fruit, veggies, salad, dessert, chips, stuff like that, so we have a more whole potluck meal, that'd be awesome. One other announcement is that on August 19th to 23rd, does anybody know what's happening that week? Kid camp, yes. Kid camp is happening that week. And I got to start off by saying, so Stephen announced last week that kid camp was happening that week. Our sign-up board for volunteers and for bringing food, that went out last weekend. And you guys blew us away, like us as a staff team. It was just so encouraging to see how many people already signed up in that first weekend. So there's still spots to fill. You can still sign up for food to volunteer for that week, for setup out in the gathering place there. As well, Pioneer Days is essentially I haven't been around for Pioneer Days, actually. Last year, Karen and I were in Calgary, so hopefully we'll be around this year. It's July 13th. And we are hoping to put together a float for that, for Kid Camp, for that day. I don't know anything about floats. So, yeah, I know. By looking at me, you'd be like, well, Josh, of course you do. But I don't. So if you Google it. Yeah, right. If you have a gifting in that, we're looking for somebody who would like to champion creating a float for Kid Camp for the Pioneer Days, which is July 13th. So if you're interested in that, you can chat with Nick or Kelly after the service here. We would love to have a float and be representing Kid Camp in that way during Pioneer Days. That'd be awesome. So now I'm going to call our ushers forward, and we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And that's for anyone that would call Sturgeon Alliance Church home. If that's not you, just feel free to let that basket pass you. And yeah, would you join me in prayer now? Yeah, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this glorious weather outside, and yeah, that we get to come and hear stories of you this morning. Jesus, we thank you as well for how you have so richly blessed us. Jesus, all of our finances, everything we have, it is yours. And Lord, so as we give back just a portion of what you've blessed us with, Lord, would you use that to make your name famous? Would you use that to expand your kingdom? Jesus, we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. So as that offering basket's going around, I'm going to dismiss our G-Force crew. So ages 4 to grade 4, you can head to the back and meet your leaders back there, and you're going to head downstairs for some G-Force. As well, if you are a newcomer, if it's your first time here, you're going to find a Connect card in the seat pocket in front of you. I encourage you to take that, fill it out, and bring it to our information kiosk, and we have a gift for you there, just a bottle of honey. So fill that out, bring it out there. That would be awesome. As the basket's going around, just a couple more quick announcements. Next weekend, I myself am not going to be here because I'm going to be at our Fuse Youth Wrap-Up Retreat. It's going to be awesome. For you students and parents who have students signed up to go to that, we're meeting at the church at 6 o'clock here on Friday nights, and that's for the weekend. And you'll get an email later this week about all the other details that come with that. And as the basket is just about done, one final announcement. If you are a young adult and you're like, yeah, I consider myself a young adult, whatever that age range is, I would invite you to join us. We're going to go for a young adult lunch afterwards to Main Street Grill. So come meet us up in this general area after the service. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. So with that, we are going to go into a two-minute mingle now. And you can ask somebody what they're doing with the rest of this long weekend and awesome weather. Thanks, guys.
Can we get you all to come on back in here for one more song to our King?
Let's try that again.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside. Will I fear as long as you are near? Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Your love for me, and yet my heart
forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it speaks to us right where we need to hear from you, and we thank you for how it's coming alive in our life, individually and collectively as a church. And as we open our lives and open the word right now, we pray that you teach us something about yourself. Encourage us in our faith and challenge us in our faith this morning. Carry us along, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. So this morning is going to be a unique morning. We call this a Selah Sunday. Selah is that word that you find in the book of Psalms occasionally that means pause. And it's intended to be a time in the music, because psalms were songs, where you would be singing along and there would be a interlude where the music would play and you'd reflect on what you were singing, reflect on what you were actually saying, because you could be saying some pretty heavy things, and the point of the song isn't just to rush through and checkbox sing it. It's to pause and say, wait a second, I want to feel the gravity of what I'm saying here. We want to hear the gravity of what we're saying to our God of the universe and to Jesus. And so these Sundays occasionally are like that as well, because we've gone through some heavy things this year. We had our big vision series, and then we went through our Elephant in the Room series, and then went through Easter series, You're Richer Than You Think. And now we're starting into Philippians, and we're learning about what it means to be insatiably consumed with Jesus. And today we're going to pause and have our second one-word Sunday. We did one back on March the 3rd, and we heard from some of our key leaders and our elders about their one word and how it's coming alive in their life. And today we're going to hear from six other individuals from you, and you are going to be the sermon, six stories of what Jesus is doing in individual lives. We're going through Philippians, and we've said that Philippians has a lot of coffee cup verses, a lot of those verses that we put on the plaques and wall. There's some really good stuff in there. And one of them that we talked about a few weeks ago was in chapter 1, verse number 6. It goes, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Right? Remember that verse? And so what you're going to see today is the ongoing work that Jesus is doing in individual lives. And so what we've done, if you're new here and you don't know what we've done, back in January we went through our vision series, Making Jesus Famous. We talked about looking up in prayer and looking into the Word, and we said what we need to do is we need to all select a passage of Scripture to be that rock-solid foundation that you're going to base your life on this year. And we looked in Matthew where Jesus says, whoever hears my words and builds and obeys them is like a man who builds his house upon the rock. And so we had these tiles representing rocks, and we wrote our name and a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture on that. And then there's a display in the foyer. You'll see them all there, about 200 of them there. And that's going to be that one rock that you're going to come back to throughout the year. Yeah, you're going to go to other passages of scripture like Philippians right now, but that's going to be that one that you're going to come back to. And so we have six individuals from six vastly different stories, vastly different themes. We have the theme of trust. We have the theme of joy. We have the theme of bringing God glory in the little things, boldness in Christ, putting God first, and prayer and dependence upon God. Six vastly different stories. And so I've asked Rita to start. Rita, why don't you come? Rita. This is good because I get to brag about you guys too. I get to brag about these people now because they won't brag about themselves, so I get to brag about Rita. Rita, come on up. How do you get up there? Which chair do you want? This one? Okay. Rita, still waters run deep with Rita. She is has a lot of spiritual depth, Rita. So you've been coming here for quite a few years now, over 20 years now, right? Since you moved out west here with Brian. And one of the things about Rita that I'm going to tell you that she probably wouldn't tell you is she's a PK. So her father was a pastor her whole life. And you remember, what's that? You were a good one. Do you want me to sit down and get the video? Okay, I'm sorry, I'll sit down. Okay. So one of the things that I told you when I came here was that I was concerned, and I wanted you to pray for our kids as they adapted to life here. And many of you, I give you examples of many of you helping out in that situation, and Rita actually was one of those in a very silent way. And you don't know that I'm going to share this, but I'm going to share it because I'm going to brag about you because you follow Jesus. So so Rita, she's a pastor's kid as well, and so she wrote a letter to our kids when we first came here and explained that she knows exactly what they're going through. And that was huge. That was huge. Sorry, it's not my testimony, it's your testimony. Anyway, so she was being used by Jesus in just small ways, in small yet significant ways in behind scenes, just sending a note of encouragement to pastors' kids. I know exactly what you're going through, and you'll be fine, and I was there. And so that letter was very significant in our life. So I want to thank you for that. Now Rita, she sent me an email this week, and she said, hey, if you have any more room, I'll share my one word. I responded within like seconds, yes, I want Rita up there. And so Rita, why don't you tell us your one word, and then tell us why you prayerfully selected it this time. Oh, probably should give you this. They want to hear you. Yeah.
My word is trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
And so why did you prayerfully select that verse this year, 2019, to be your one word?
Well, it reminded me of way back in the 80s when our kids were teens and they were rebelling against going to church, and Brian didn't go to church yet then. Okay. And I went to a church service, and our pastor spoke on that. And it really, the trust.
So all that you were going through in that time with your kids.
Trust me.
And Brian, you need a lot of trust to deal with Brian. Where's Brian?
Yep.
But that became significant right there, right?
Yes,
yeah.
And then
you said also that throughout the course of your life as you face different medical things. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell me about that? Mm-hmm.
I had pancreatic cancer 10 years ago. Mm. And I had my checkup this last year, the ultrasound, and I'm clear. I didn't have to have any treatment. And I had a peace about it all through the time that I was having the surgery, and I didn't have to have treatment. Hmm. It was in a place where it was a good place, the tail of it. of the pancreas.
So that was a passage of scripture like 20 years ago became
trust.
And
trust
then,
me. Yeah.
And then when you encountered that medical issue, it became trust, and there was peace in that situation.
Yes, yes.
And there's also been times in your life you're telling me, not medical, but like when you're moved west and things like that. Why don't you tell me about that?
Well, Brian was working up north, and he brought me out here. And
because she's from New Brunswick, by the way, so she's a common friend here. Yeah.
We had a townhouse, and we drove out, and he wanted to find a church for us so that we could go to church and I could go to church while he was up north. And I met a missionary couple, retired. She sort of took me under her wing. Her name was Verna Becker. I think some people know her here. And God gave her to me to mentor me, and I helped her.
Yeah.
So
even in that situation.
Yeah. It was scary being in Edmonton, not knowing anyone, and in a strange place. And that, God gave me
God was
people
there.
To embrace me. Yeah. Mm.
You also talked about just even recently how this has been a significant worse with what the situation you're facing right now.
Yes, for the past 3 years, really, that Brian has been ill. And now they say he's terminal, and we don't know what the future holds, what's taking place, but we know who holds the future.
Yeah.
And we have to trust him.
Yeah. You told me that sometimes worry creeps in.
Oh, yes.
And you're like, what if?
How am I going to get this all done? And there's things he can't do now that I have to depend on other people. And it's just a day to day, day by day.
But when that comes in, you come back to...
Right. Trust.
To trust.
Trust. Yeah. Just trust me.
To trust.
We'll get through it.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Oh, for sure.
To not see the future. And see what is going to take place, but we know who holds the future.
Right. You also, I was sitting on your table with you and Brian was sharing as well. And you even mentioned about tithing, of all things. I don't know how we got on that subject, but you said that this verse applies to that. Can you tell me about that?
Well, he's not working now, but... God's providing.
Yeah.
And he is true and faithful.
He's faithful even when you decide to give that to that money to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said too that we can't afford not to tithe.
You can't afford not to tithe.
Yeah,
I think that's what I remember. Yeah. And God's been faithful. I think I wrote this quote down that you told me, God is good and he has not abandoned us yet.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
he's faithful. And
he won't.
And he won't.
No.
Yeah. And he won't. That's not awesome.
And I'm trying to convince myself, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a daily thing, isn't it?
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we respond with the new amen when I say, isn't it amazing what God is doing in Rita's life?
No way.
There we go. Thanks, Rita, for sharing.
Thank you.
Martin, where are you? Come on up, bud. Martin is no... Yeah, can you help? Sorry. Thanks.
Can you help me too?
You're on your own. Yeah. Martin is tall. That's all I'm going to say about Martin. He's a good sense of humor.
We had a discussion with the DeHans about this, and they consistently since then have sat in front of my wife, who is not tall.
I'd
like to point out they did it again today.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate your service in worship. We see up here, I guess you were up here last week even, and then you're on the drums and guitars and things like that. So why don't you tell us about your one word and just briefly why you prayerfully selected it this year.
Sure. So my one word is joy. It's always something I've taken very seriously. When I was young, I've been a Christian my whole life, and when I was young, we sang a song in youth group, They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few. Good. For me, that was good. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is. But joy was always something that I thought that they needed to know too. And so my verse is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. A little history. Several years ago, things were a little tough for me. I was having a hard time. And this verse came. And where it really spoke to me, and I knew it, but where it spoke to me was it answered two questions. The first was, why is this happening to me? And the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mm. And really, what it said to me was, why should I expect any different? Mm. I mean, it's there. I think a great threat to the church in general is this, and that it will steal our joy. Mm. And that's a problem for me. I don't like that. But it's there. It's real. The second question it answered was what I should do about it. And what I should do about it is have joy. And the reason is because Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. Mm. And that's not talking about things we're going to have on this earth at all. That is talking about our future promise in heaven. And what greater joy can that give? I mean, joy really is a Christian word mm-hmm. that society doesn't use a lot. And to me, that's why. So that was kind of back then. But why it meant a lot to me this year. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this because it's unfortunate, but I kind of lost my focus. Last year was excellent. It was just great. We have three children. They're all healthy. I've worked hard in my life to never take things for granted. Our kids, they all have a job. Yay! They all got a job. That's good. But there's more than that, of course. But they're doing great. My wife's doing great. Professionally, last year, I have to tell you, I couldn't do anything wrong. It was just one of the best years I've had. And as I went along, my kids are laughing because they heard about it. I'd come home and like, guess what happened? I didn't even ask, and things were happening. It was great. But I, as I went along, what I found was that I was getting grumpy, cranky. My wife is what you could describe as the perfect fit for me. And every now and then she's, man, you're cranky. And she was right. And from someone who takes joy so serious, what was going on?
That never happens to me, by the
way. No. You know? So she was right. And it was that's what was happening. And then when you put out the call in January about what verse we should choose, there was no question. And not only did the verse come to my mind, but also I really felt God strongly saying to me, you don't understand it yet. And because what was happening, as I looked backwards, I'm very good at looking backwards. It's a skill I have. I realized that that was the problem. The thief was stealing my joy. Mm. And I'm not kidding when I say I take it serious. That's important to me. There's nothing that we can't find joy. And the reason is because Jesus came that we might have life.
Amen.
And so I really was forced to say to myself, things went great, but that's not where your joy comes from. And if you don't know that by now, then you need to take some time to think about that.
Yeah.
And yes, I wasn't taking those things for granted, but I wasn't treating them right either, because those are a gift from God, and that's excellent, but those things don't matter. Yeah. And we all know that at some point, we're going to have to face the music, mm-hmm. and none of it's coming with us. And that's okay, because joy will be there.
Yeah.
And that's my word.
You said this is like a reset button for you.
Yes, absolutely it was.
Okay, refocus, reset, and joy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, Martin. Isn't it amazing what God is doing in Martin's life?
No way.
All right, where's Candace? Thank you. So Candace... I visited. I've been visiting a few of the small groups, and I visited the Heinens group a couple weeks ago. And they were taking a break from their study on that day, and they decided everyone was going to come and share about their one word on that small groups. So it was cool for me to hear what God was doing in individual lives. And Candace goes, well, I don't have a whole lot to say, but she had something very significant to say. And when I heard it, I'm like, I'm putting you on stage. In my mind, I said that. She didn't know that. But so here she is. Here she is today. And so why don't you tell us you're a new mom, and that was kind of the context of what we're talking about here. Why don't you tell us your one word and why you prayerfully selected it?
All right. My one word comes from 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. In the context, it's essentially Paul talking about to the Corinthians about their freedom, about eating and drinking. And I'm focusing on the second part of the verse, whatever else you do, do it to the glory of God. So in January, when Brent came to say, you know, we're trying to pick one word, what is our focus for the year? I'm like, a focus? I just had a baby. Like, that's my focus. How can I think of anything else? Because a baby takes up a whole lot. You know, my life consists of changing diapers and feeding and burping baby and sleeping and repeat. So
she's calling out for you right
now. I know, I can hear that.
You hear that.
So how else could I fit anything in? So what I've realized I can do while I'm dealing with Gemma, I can also be doing it for the glory of God. So what I can do, glorify God in it, is being thankful. So I can be thankful in allowing him to become a mom. God has gifted me with a baby, and that's awesome. I can be thankful even, you know, changing diapers, that he's given me a baby that is healthy and that is gaining weight. Feeding my baby, that we actually have the resources to feed her. Sleep, that he's provided us with a house and that we have a roof over our head. Laundry, that I have clothes to wear and then I have a choice of what clothes to wear. I could take these blessings for granted, and I can complain about them. But however, my response would not be glorifying to God. So with this attitude of gratitude, I'm glorifying God with this positive attitude in my daily activities. It may not seem important by contributing to society, but in God's eyes, all these little things are important. God created us to do them. And when we do these little things to glorify God, we make him smile. So that's it.
Wow. Wow. I don't have to preach. Like, there you go. you talked about this Stephen Curtis Chapman song about picking Cheerios up.
Yeah, so Stephen Curtis Chapman, about in 2011, he came out with a song, Do Everything. I'm not going to sing it. But in this song, it talks about a mom putting on lipstick, you know, with a child on her hip, picking up toys for 15 times in the day, picking up Cheerios off the floor. Or you could be someone in a boardroom making tax planning or whatever. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So that song really spoke to me, saying, you know, I've traded in my briefcase for a diaper bag, and I'm picking up the Cheerios, and I'm putting the baby on my hip, and I'm doing it for the glory of God.
That's huge, because I know so many young moms think that they're kind of wasting their life, or but they're doing some of the most significant work.
Mm-hmm.
They're raising this child. I mean, God's given them this precious thing, and we hear screaming back there, you know, and that is can be done for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Just as much as any other thing, you know.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, Candace. Isn't it amazing what God is doing in Candace's life? There we go. All right. Thanks, Candace. Serena, where's Serena? Yeah. So Serena, I got to talk about Serena now. Serena has an essay, but Serena was actually part of the search team when I was coming to Sturgeon Alliance, and I was immediately impressed with Ladine was the other one, and with the spiritual depth of the women of Sturgeon Alliance when I encountered you two, and Serena is highly organized. And she has a passion to make Jesus famous in the women at Sturgeon Alliance, and she helped Esther was helping her last fall, and they did an awesome women's night here at the church. And you were one of the first ones to reach out to me when I said, hey, who wants to share both their one word? And you came to me and said, yeah, I have a story. And you do have a story. This is a good story. I think a lot of people can identify with this. So why don't you tell us your one word and why you prayerfully selected it?
My one word verse is Philippians chapter 1, verse 20.
That's a good book, Philippians.
I know.
We're studying that right now. Yeah.
For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. And I chose this verse because I love the book of Philippians. It's very inspiring and very encouraging. And when I was flipping through the pages of it, be bold for Christ just kind of jumped out at me. And I think that it fits where I am in my life right now and where he's taking me. So last summer, I was going through a rough patch, and I was praying, crying to God. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't have any answers. By midsummer, my prayer was simple but desperate, and it was, Dear Jesus, please open a door for me, show me which way to go. And it was an instant answer of, can't you see, child, I have opened a door for you. So I've never heard his voice so clearly before. It was like my eyes just were wide open in a second. And since that moment, I was able to work through my negative feelings of what I was going through at that time and embrace the next road in my life with Christ by my side. So through that trial, I have felt God stirring in my heart to grow my faith further, and I felt that this verse would be a good one to remember through my everyday walk in life through any circumstance.
Wow. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about how it's coming alive in your life, what God is teaching you, and how he's conforming you to be more like Jesus.
Yes. So I'm going to share how this verse helped me through a difficult situation or circumstance. It was a Tuesday morning, 2 days after I chose my one-word verse, and my sister and I had planned to meet at Kingsway Mall for coffee and a little bit of shopping. I dropped my son off at preschool on the way into the city, and I was just reaching the city limits when I realized that I forgot my cell phone. So, of course, there's a panic button right there, but I'm already partway into the city. I'm not going to turn around. I was looking forward to this for a long time to catch up with her, and I just kind of said a prayer to God, please keep me safe on the roads. It is winter. The roads are not that great, and I have tire issues with my van. So I just continued on, and I knew my sister would have her phone on her. So if anything happened with Isaac at preschool or the other kids at school that day. So I pulled into the parking lot at the mall. I was driving around the outskirt of the mall, of the parking lot, sorry, and I thought I was driving around the outskirts of the parking lot, and I drove right into one of those big yellow barricades with the signs sticking out, saying, please park between these signs. I hit it. I don't know how, but like I couldn't go anywhere. It did a lot of damage. So I just kind of slid the van into a spot that was right there. And
you didn't have your phone. And
I didn't have my phone. Okay. Yeah, but I was meeting my sister there. And we did invite my mother-in-law too. But at that time, I didn't know she was coming. And so I slid it into the parking lot, got out. There was a bunch of damage. I kept my composure, and I walked into the mall. I kind of thought, this is going to suck, because this is my only vehicle. My husband's away working, and I'm not good at staying at home. I get cabin fever so easily. And I don't have my cell phone. So I'm walking into the mall, and I go up to the lady at customer service. Nothing's open yet except for a couple things to have coffee at, a couple of restaurants. So I walk up to the lady at customer service, and I ask if I can dial out, because I do know my sister's phone number by heart, thankfully. So she said, well, we're not allowed to let people use our phone. We're not allowed to dial out. You can go to the entrance and use the payphone. And I was like, oh, there's payphones.
Oh. You have to explain that to everyone under 15.
Yes, there are such things as payphones still. But my mind still wasn't going there, and I was still feeling really overwhelmed. And I just started crying. And I was like trying to explain to the lady, like, I just need to get a hold of my sister. My son's at preschool. I broke my van. And she just was like, oh. And she picked up the phone and she let me dial out. So I called my sister. She answered. She was just running late. I tried to explain to her the problem and she didn't understand either. She was like, is this Serena? I'm like, yes. So she eventually was on her way. So I went back to sit at the in the entranceway to wait for her, and my mother-in-law walked in. So she came in, and I went to her and started crying more. I don't know what to do. This is awful, you know. And then my sister came, and then between the two of them, they were able to take care of me and settle me down, and then we have to deal with the situation. So my sister took care of my son, who's at preschool, was able to pick him up and take him home and everything like that. And my mother-in-law was able to take care of the tow truck and have the tow truck come and line everything up. And she waited with me in the mall for 4 hours until the tow truck came. Wow. Yeah. So by the time I got home, it was not a good day. It was later in the day. It was probably like 3 o'clock because my sister was able to come and pick me and Isaac up and take us back home after that. And I was just reflecting and had to talk to my husband, who's away working, of course. And sometimes we don't have the best conversations over the phone, especially in stressful situations like this. And I don't know anything about vehicles, and he's not there to help, really. So it's hard for him, too. So we had a kind of a short conversation. I was able to talk with my father-in-law mechanic. I had to interrupt him at work to see if I could make the best decision with giving him the information I'm receiving from the tire shop. So I had that. And then it wasn't until the next day, Wednesday afternoon, when I remembered about my one verse. It took me like more than 24 hours to think back and be like, oh, and I was stuck at home. So I thought back and I was like, oh, my one word verse. And then it was, be bold for Christ. And then I started thinking, what if we flipped this around and used this situation to think about all of the other people who were involved in it because of it, and use it to kind of live out loud for Christ? There was the lady at customer service at the mall. There was the tow truck driver. There was the guys at the tire shop. And then there was my family. And I could have taken that and not been so mad and angry and like just upset at everything that happened, and that I was going to be stuck at home and I didn't have another vehicle and worried about not having a cell phone. I could have taken this situation and thought about it a little bit differently. And I'm happy that I remembered my one verse, because it just changed my attitude in that second, actually, when I remembered it. I was able to talk to my husband, and we were able to talk through the situation and why we had the argument and everything. And then I was, where am I? Sorry, I have an essay. And then I was thinking that God had control of the situation the whole time, and he surrounded me with my family to assist me through. I identified my prayer on the highway for safe travels, and I thought, well, you know what? It could have been worse. I could have driven into another car. So it was in a parking lot by myself, which was good. Hey, the guys,
because you, at the beginning of the story, you forgot this, but you said you said a prayer on the way.
Yes, I did. When I forgot my cell phone, because because we live out here and I drive all the time. Yeah. My van is my second home, and I kind of worry about that all the time. So I left my cell phone home. I forgot it. I remembered, so I pray, and it was just, I was like, oh, well, it could have been so much worse than what it was. And the guys at the tire shop were great to deal with. They ended up doing more work than they had to and charging me less. So even when I was worrying about the financial burden of it, God had that too. So, yeah. So it may have been an inconvenient circumstance to start off 2019. But after I turned it around, I realized that it was also a great opportunity to show Christ's love and be bold for Christ through this circumstance because of it.
That's awesome. I mean, that's
And Paul's in jail when he writes that, right? And so he's in a circumstance that's pretty...
I kind of felt like I was in jail,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. But
my cabin fever.
That whatever circumstance I'm in, it's all about Jesus, and I'm going to turn it around to bring him glory. And you kind of had that epiphany, yes, as you went through that and stumbled through that. That's awesome. So are there any new insights you've had with this one word, though, since selecting it, since that story anymore?
Yes. I wish that I could say that I remembered the same thing through another difficult situation a few months later. So a few weeks ago, my family and I went on vacation, and we were flying out, and we were already really late because I forgot the kids' passports, and I remembered as soon as we got to the NISQ turnoff. So, yeah. So Jeff had to turn around, and we drove back home, got the passports, just in case we needed them, because they were flying home with our in-laws after, even though we were within Canada still. And we made it back at boarding time. And we checked in, and we're going through security, and I get stuck in security because they had to rescan my belongings. Well, I'm annoyed because I'm an organized person, and I don't like to be late. So I was just annoyed, and I'm worried, and I'm upset, and everybody else is through security waiting at the gate, and I'm not. So I got it. I was like, my flight is going to leave. They're boarding. Can you just... I made it known to everybody there, the other passengers and the employees, that this system doesn't work, and I'm annoyed, and I'm running late. So finally I get through, and my father-in-law says, oh, we're delayed by an hour. We just got an email. So the email was sent out while I was going through security.
Yeah.
So that's just another, like, I'm thinking, oh. And as I was writing the testimony on my van when I crashed it, this came to me, and I was thinking, oh, I wish that I remembered my one verse through that circumstance in the airport. Mm. I could have easily flipped that around and acted in love and shown God's love, and it could have been less stressful for all of us, and our flight was delayed by an hour anyway, so God had it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to worry about that. Yeah. So
you need her run word, trust. There you go.
Yes, yeah. Trust. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so there's that situation. So just the fact that I am remembering these circumstances and God is working in my heart to better myself and show his love to others and be bold for Christ is a step forward for me. I feel like it's just going to get... It's just going to work in my heart more, and it's going to be, he's going to be there, and he's going to be like, Serena, be bold for Christ. Trust. Love. You can get through this situation. I put these people in your path for a reason. So as much as I fall down and I'm not perfect, I also know that's what the cross is for. And I just feel like he's going to keep on working through me in these ways, and I'll just keep on living through God as much as I can.
Yeah. That's what spiritual growth looks like right there, folks. Stumbling towards obedience, messing up and going, yep, all right, back to the one word, the cross, right? That is it. And thank you for being vulnerable and showing us, because none of us can identify with anything you said. Right?
If you drive with
no
me,
no one's ever
might.
Get annoyed. No one's ever get annoyed. Or that's everyone here, right? And we've all been there. And thank you for just showing us your heart and how you're wrestling with applying the scripture. And isn't it amazing what God is doing in Serena's life?
No way!
All right. Thanks, Serena. Where's Stephen? All right. We've got two more here. Young man. Stephen is actually a last-minute fill-in here. Marion Tidsbury was supposed to be here, and she came down with a massive migraine this morning, and so I said, Josh, do you have anyone in your life that could maybe do this spontaneous thing? And he texted Stephen, and Stephen said, absolutely, I'd love to do that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. You're our new announcements guy, and I love the, what was it, Woot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Woot.
Woot. Okay, so Woot, why don't you share your one word and why you prayerfully selected that?
Right, so my one word is Proverbs 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan the course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And so I first ran into this verse in my one-year Bible school I did in Manitoba. We had to pick a verse to put onto our door. And I just Google searched a verse, and it was the first one there. So I was like, yeah, that's great.
Wow, even God controls Google.
Yeah, it's good.
Don't tell Google that, though, but anyway.
But as that year of Bible school ended, my instructor or leader of the year pressed me to thinking of, you should try look into ministry, doing some sort of ministry schooling or something. And my entire life, my main goal has been to be able to get into a stable, good paying job so that I can support my future family. That's been the main thing I've always wanted in my life. And ministry did not fit into that because I've never heard anything great about the pay in ministry, okay? So I was no.
I don't have any money on me, actually. Yeah. I haven't starved to death yet.
Yeah.
So
I thought about it. I was maybe I should look into this. And so I got back here, Josh was just getting back here, or starting here. And so I've talked to Josh a lot about this, and it's been something I've been going through and working through. And we went to a trial day at, Josh, what was the name of that school? Vanguard, yeah, at Vanguard. I can't even remember his name. We did a trial day there, and yeah, honestly, it's I'm winging this, so give me some.
So you went to this trial day at Vanguard, and yeah. What were you expecting when you went into it?
Well, yeah, as I was going into it, I was really hoping I'd just give me answers of whether or not this is what God wants me to do, if this is his plan for my life, if he wants me to be a pastor or a youth pastor or whatever. But it didn't give me peace in the sense of, this is what I want you to do, but it didn't give me peace that this isn't what you want me to do. It really just honestly left me with more questions of what he wants from me. But yeah, the entire time since my Bible school year, this verse has always been in the back of my mind, that God has a plan for me and that I need to put him before everything else in my life. And that includes my future family, which is if there was one thing that I would struggle with in life, it would definitely be giving my family, my future family, to God and my future, my future life with that. And so, yeah, whenever I think about that, whenever I'm praying, I always think about this verse of how the Lord establishes my steps and he has a plan for me. It's going to be good. I know it'll be good. I mean, right? God's a great guy. What a good guy. But yeah, so is this making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
it does.
Yeah.
And again, like I said with Serena, I don't think anyone can identify with the statement.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to trust God with my future.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone here can identify with that. And we hear you wrestling with that right now. And like I say, always embrace the restlessness because that's where God speaks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's where you know he's working.
Yeah,
so it's, and right now, I can't say I have found a conclusion or I'm in a great place now. I'm still working through this verse and working with God through it. It's been a great time. But it's been good, and
In his heart, the man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Well, God's got some steps in store for you, and we look forward to what God has.
Yeah. It's,
cool. Isn't it cool? Isn't it amazing what God is doing in Stephen's life? All right. Thanks, Stephen. Well, we have a man who's no stranger to Sturgeon Alliance. This is Norm. And, if you want to be, I'm going to give you this. I'll let you hold that. If you want to be encouraged in your walk with Christ, just walk up to Norm and say, Norm, will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? But when you do that, just make sure he'll put you on his list to pray, but just make sure that he doesn't take me off of his list, because he prays for me, and he continually tells me that he prays for me, and I believe he does. And when I went over to his house, he just loves prayer so much. He said, Pastor Brent, before we even meet, can you just pray for me as we meet? I was like, yeah. And then, but when I left, I was like, can you pray for me? And he's like, yeah. So it was a great time we had sharing together. And Norm is just loves the Word, loves spending time with the Lord, and loves prayer. So why don't you tell us what your one word is? It's a bit longer passage, 8 verses in John. And then why you prayerfully selected that. So go ahead, Norm.
So my verse is John 15:1-8. And it's about Jesus teaches about the vine and the branches. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Yes, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So the reason I chose this is really a life verse for me. I was reminded of it long ago that I need to stay close to God. In order for me to really experience him in my life, I need to stay close to him. And for me, the basics of being close to God means prayer, reading the word, and also being obedient to the leading of the Spirit. A few years ago, the Spirit convicted me to get closer to God, to spend more time in prayer and to spend more time in the Word. And I didn't want to take away from the time that I was spending with my family. And so I thought, well, what do I do? So the Spirit led me to get up earlier in the morning and to spend that time of day with God. And for me, like God, I know calls us to give him our best. So for me, that's my best time of day is early in the morning. So I get up early and I do that.
So what does that look like? Where's your place where you're tapped into the vine?
So you mean time and place?
Yeah, time and place.
So I get up at 4:30 and I drive to my work, and we have breakout rooms there.
You get up at what time?
4:30.
Wow.
It gives me time to prepare for the day, really, is what it does.
Yeah.
So I get there about 5:30. So I usually pray till 6 and spend time in the Word till about 6:45, and I start work.
Yeah.
So
prayer, I'm going to deviate a bit from your script here. But prayer, because you told me this story, is so significant for you.
Yes.
Because how you came to faith in Christ is a really amazing story. You met this Christian guy, and he told you to pray like in this weird way. And so tell me about that. Tell us about that.
So, yeah, I knew this fellow was a Christ follower, and I was wondering what a real relationship with Christ looked like, because I had brothers and sisters who were coming to the Lord, and they're saying, Norm, you got to get saved. And I was too proud to ask them what that was like, and I thought to myself, well,
what a relationship with Jesus looked like.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself, one of these days I'm going to ask this fellow I was working with, right? When they were having this discussion, and as we parted ways, he said, God bless you, Norm. And I thought, well, this is it. I got to ask him that question. So I went back to Jürgen, and I said, hey, Jürgen, do you know what a relationship with God looks like? And he said, yeah. I said, what is that? He says, I don't know, Norm. He says, I think his words to me were, he says, I know you to be a pretty stubborn guy, so I'm going to give you a challenge. He said, you up for a challenge? I said, sure, I'm up for a challenge. He said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go into your room every day for the next month, and you're going to pray to God. He says, what in your life, he says, have you no control over? I said, my boys right now are teenagers. They're in a place where I'm not sure which way they're going. You know what I mean? As parents, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. right? So I said, my children, my boys. He said, then here's what I want you to do. Get on your knees, cry out to God for your children. He said, you tell them, tell God what you want, how you want him to come through in your life. And so I did, and it didn't take 3 days. God had answered prayer for me. And so we dealt with that, like, because one of our boys was going off to the side where I had asked God to show me so that I could do my job as a dad. So, and he showed me. So we did, and Jackie and I did what we needed to do. And to me, that answer to prayer was a reality that God was real, that he's there when we need him in our lives. So, yeah.
What an amazing evangelistic question to ask. What area in your life do you have no control over? Start talking to God about it.
Yeah.
And then did, and then God starts showing up in ways that,
right away,
that are very tangible. And you're like, okay, this is what a relationship with Jesus looks like.
Exactly, yeah.
And so that's why prayer is at the heart of your life, because when you, that's how it
started. It's powerful.
Started.
Prayer is powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. So... I mean, how have you seen God work in conjunction with this passage and this lately?
I would say God is at work through me at my work quite a bit. Mm. When I pray to God, one of the prayers that I ask him to do is to use me, whatever way he sees fit. And it seems as though, well, it's not it seems as though, actually this... I got to step back a little bit. On another situation is we have a devotional that we do at work on Tuesdays, me and this other fella. We facilitate this devotional, and we have a list of about, there's about 38 people receiving the devotional earlier in the morning when we prepare, we send it to them. And then we meet at noon from 12 to 12:30 during our lunch, and we open in prayer, we read the devotional, and we talk about how the word applies in our lives, and a lot of times we are challenged, but encouraged as well in our faith with each other. So it's one of the places where God is working it.
So just a little Bible study.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah. And you know, we also pray during that time for each and every one of the people that are there to be bold and ask others. And so the group is growing.
Yeah.
Right? So awesome. It's, yeah.
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 As of late, are there any new insights you have on this passage since?
What God is working through me, he's given me lately more opportunities to witness to others of what he's doing in my life. Mm. So around my work, and this is where it seems to be happening most, I've had a lot of chances to tell others about what God is doing. And it's basically telling them what my story is and how God has come through and how good God is. Mm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing what God is doing in Norm's life?
No way!
Yeah. Norm, I'm going to put you on the spot. Would you pray for us as a church? And I'm going to ask the worship team to come as well. Oh. Do that for us.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for a time of encouragement and challenge too, Lord. Even this morning as we shared what you are doing in our lives. Lord, I pray over our congregation that you would just hold us together close, Lord, with one heart and one mind, how you want us to follow through, Lord, when your spirit comes into our hearts and asks us to do something. I pray for our obedience, Father God. I pray for just for you, Lord, to also always keep wanting to make your name famous in our lives and also in our community, Lord. I pray, Father God, too, over our Pastor Brent and the elders, Father God, that you would just protect them, Lord, in all that they are doing. Lord, I pray that you would give them, Lord, vision, clear vision, Lord, for us as to what our next step is, Lord, as a congregation. And Lord, I pray that, again, it would be just a time of knowing your presence, of just glorifying you in all that we do, because, Lord, that's what you have built us to do, to serve and love you, Lord, because we know that you loved us first. So thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Norm. Thank you so much. Why don't we stand and sing one more song?